Preface and Chapter 1 of The Roosevelt Bears Abroad. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. The Roosevelt Bears Abroad by Seymour Eaton. Preface and Chapter 1. Tell me about a bear. What kind of story do you want? Tell me about a bear. That was our answer when you and I were boys. Our fathers would in all likelihood have said, "Tell me about Indians," but for half a century the bear story has been the first choice of the little folks, and this accounts largely for the universal popularity of Teddy B and Teddy G. It is simply the crowning by the children of their very own heroes. This new story supplements the two volumes which told the history and adventures of Teddy B and Teddy G at home. It will be followed by a fourth book, in which these two bears play the role of detectives and solve for the children the old-time puzzles and mysteries of the nursery. Seymour Eaton, Lansdowne, Pennsylvania. The Roosevelt Bears on the Atlantic. The Roosevelt Bears had their winter sleep where mountains high and valleys deep and boulders big and evergreen make the prettiest home that was ever seen. They had carried back to their cave out west 10 trunks filled full of things the best, mechanics' tools and books to read, and boxes of candy on which to feed, and toys and rugs and New York suits, and maps of the world, and steamship routes, and a tambourine and a phonograph to play for friends and make them laugh. But the things they did that winter cold have not been written and will not be told. Said Teddy G, when spring came round, "I'm going to quit this hunting ground and travel again. I like the sport. I want to go to some foreign court, to see a king and to try my hand at things that I don't understand."
"If I remember," said Teddy B, "you've tried your hand from A to Z at things you didn't know before, and some few left you pretty sore. But if you'll behave this time for sure, I'll join you on a foreign tour."
Teddy G made promise in his way to keep out of mischief and the law obey. But this solemn promise he meant to keep only just while he was sound asleep. They packed their bags that very day and took special train, the papers say, with private car and porters 6 to keep them from their old-time tricks. They crossed the country at record rate and reached New York a minute late. They got their steamer whose captain roared to hold the ship till they got aboard, and off across the Atlantic wide went the Roosevelt Bears to the other side. But there's many a slip between cup and lip when you're out on the sea on a wobbly ship. It beat the fun in the district school, or getting degrees on the Harvard mule, or climbing the pole at the county fair, or learning to balloon high up in the air, to see those bears roll out of bed and tumble on deck, paws overhead, and climb the stairs like circus clown, with the stairs on edge or upside down. But the biggest laugh was on Teddy G, when he asked the steward for a cup of tea, with something in it strong and stout to keep him from turning inside out. He was sitting on deck in a steamer chair, as cross and ugly as a Russian bear, and wishing for home and his mountain cave, where rocks and trees and the ground behave. The steward came by with tea and cake, which Teddy G reached up to take, when a mountain wave, both big and high, hit the side of the ship and made things fly. The deck was strewn with chair and bear, and steward and dishes everywhere. When things got level, Teddy G got up and asked the steward for another cup. "I'm not yet level inside," said he. "I'm wibbly-wobbly like the sea, and the more I eat, the worse I feel. But it takes much eating to count a meal, for things don't count for me or you, which feed the fishes in the ocean blue." But by and by the weather cleared, and the bears went up on the bridge and steered, or went below with stoker men who shoveled coal from 6 till 10, or played some prank on the steamer cook when hunting cakes or pies to hook, or looked through glasses to see a wreck, or engaged in games with boys on deck. It didn't take long for Teddy G to get busy at tricks quite new at sea. He borrowed the bugle and blew a tune, which called the dinner an hour too soon. He locked 6 stewards in a room, and played at shuffleboard with a broom, and got the clocks going on the run to make them time with the speeding sun. He rang 10 bells one night at 9, which meant, he said, that the night was fine. And 1,000 things, the sailors say, which made the folks merry every day. While Teddy G made laugh and fun, Teddy B wrote letters to everyone. To boys and girls whom he had seen in cities and towns where they had been, and he told them all about the trip and the things they do on board a ship. One day to the captain's cabin they went, with books in hand, on questions bent.
"A question, captain," said Teddy B. "May I ask a question in geography?"
The captain nodded and touched his cap.
"Are these meridians on this map on top of the water or down below? And who put them there? And is it so that whales get caught when hunting food in these parallels of latitude?"
"And I want to ask," said Teddy G, "if mermaids live down in the sea, and where the locker that holds the bones of fellows caught by Davy Jones? And how big the log, and the kind of wood, and the knots in an hour when the weather's good? And if sailors' yarns are ever lies? And if boxing the compass is exercise? And how many wheels on the captain's gig, and the meaning of scuttle, and lubber, and brig?"
The captain laughed and wished them well. "But questions," he said, "I can never tell which way to answer, fore or aft, wind or lee," and again he laughed. They landed in Ireland at break of day, going off on a lighter and up the bay, and waving messages of every kind to friends on the steamer they left behind. As they touched their feet on the island green, the prettiest girls they had ever seen and 12 boys and an Irish band gave them welcome to the land. The girls showered shamrocks on Teddy G, and the boys gave shillalahs to Teddy B. 2 blackthorn sticks, one for each bear, to use in England when they got there. Then off they started the sights to see, from Blarney Castle to Killarney. They got into mischief at every turn, and in half a day had fun to burn. End of Preface and Section 1. Recording by Hannah Mary.